Hello, I'm Kiff Kiker, pastor of Booms Creek Baptist Church. We're so excited having you with us today. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And I hope you'll discover that today, that you'll be uplifted and encouraged as we praise the Lord together.
Never a wrong time to do the right thing. There's never a right time to do the wrong thing. This morning, as we sing this great Lily of the Valley. I hope you can say in your heart, he's your bright morning star. We stand and sing.
Receive an offering, I think, of all the ministries that our church is involved in, Food Pantry, Coalition for Kids, Christian School, Haven of Mercy, CBN, two evangelists on the field, Bill Graham Telephone TV Ministry, Contact Ministry, Jamaica Mission, RAs, so forth, and many, many more. And just thank God that you're giving and what God provides for us. This morning, we have a preacher here that not only preaches, but he sings. And Brother John David sings after his song this morning, then we'll have the message. Any other special music?
That's it, just a long line that we were in.
Okay, after this offering, then, by John David, you'll be on. But pray for him. We're really enjoying having him. And he and I went out visiting yesterday. I got down in his neighborhood there and ran. So we're just asking your prayers for him today and for our church. And that God would just work and do great miracles. And he's able to do that, isn't he? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Brother Bud, would you pray for the offering?
First, we want to thank you for the privilege, Lord, you again to allow us to be back in your house. Yeah. Father, thank you for our brothers and sisters. I pray now, Father, for the offering. Thank you, Father, for the gift and the giver. Bless it and use it for your kingdom. That's the one that is the same as the bread. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to see you this morning. Good to be here. I'm thankful to be able to preach, thankful to be able to sing. Somebody said every time you're scheduled to preach, it snows. And was scheduled to preach last Sunday night, it snowed on us. And so Brother Ken was kind enough to allow me to preach for you this morning. I'm going to sing first. And Tim was talking about there's not a greater name that we can give honor and glory and praise to than the name of Jesus. And what a lovely name it is. I want to sing "What a Lovely Name" this morning. There's a name above all others, wonderful to hear, bringing hope and cheer. It's a lovely name of Jesus, evermore the same. What a lovely name. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star, sweeter than the songs they sing in heaven. Let the world proclaim, what a lovely name. He'll return in clouds of glory, and it's sweeter than all the songs they're singing in heaven. Let the world proclaim, what a lovely name. Oh, what a lovely name this name called Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star, and it's sweeter than all the songs they're singing in heaven. Let this world proclaim, He'll always be the same, a lovely name.
Praise the Lord. If you have any Bibles, turn with me this morning to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. We'll begin reading with verse 1. A very familiar passage of Scripture this morning. You all will recognize it as the story of the healing at the pool of Bethesda. John chapter 5. And we'll begin reading with verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Let us pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be here and give honor and glory and praise to the name of Jesus. We just thank you that you so willingly sent your Son to come and die on the cross for our sins, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you would just speak to hearts. You'd do a work in lives today with the message, Lord. We pray that you touch those that are lost, speak to us that are saved, and we'll give you all the honor and glory for everything that's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now the Bible says that Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now the Bible does not say that he went up to the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. He didn't go up to the temple or the synagogue, but he went down to the sheep market. He went down by the pool that is called Bethesda. And down by the pool of Bethesda, the Bible says that there was a multitude of sick people, blind and halt and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And isn't this a picture of the world today? The Bible says that Jesus went down among them. And isn't that just like Jesus? He's always found where he is needed. Sometimes I think that we as God's people, that we as the church, have lost sight of this crowd that we find around the pool of Bethesda. You remember when Jesus took Peter, James, and John and he went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and the Bible says there Jesus was transfigured before them. And in Luke chapter 9, verse 33, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. Peter said, this is a good place to be. Let's just remain here. But Jesus says no, because down at the bottom of the hill, there's a young boy possessed that needs me. You know, many times in our Christian walk, we have great mountaintop experiences. But we ought to be able to take those mountaintop experiences down into the valley, down where people are in need. In Mark chapter 1, verse 17, it says, And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. I told them the other night, I don't know a whole lot about fishing, but the one thing that I know about fishing is that if you want to catch fish, you have to go where the fish are. We need people that are willing to go out into the highways and the hedges and witness to people and share the gospel with them. It might be something just as simple as calling someone on the telephone and saying, I'm thinking about you and I'm praying for you. But we need people in the church today who are willing to plant the seed. And the Bible says that if you'll plant the seed, that someone else will come along and water it. And then God will give the increase.
Right.
But sometimes I feel like in our churches that we're like they were on the Mount of Transfiguration. We sit in air conditioning in the heated buildings, and we sit on padded pews, and we listen to educated speakers. And you all wish you had an educated speaker this morning. But we listen to educated speakers and well-rehearsed choirs, and we say, this is a good place to be. Here we are. Come and find us. But God never commanded the unsaved person to come to church. But he has called the church to go out to the unsaved. Jesus goes into this crowd. And I want us to look at the crowd for a few minutes this morning. They were all sick. They were all in need of a physician. They were all in need of someone who could heal them. Some were blind, some were halt, some were withered, all in need of a Savior. And as I said earlier, isn't this a picture of the lost world today? What havoc sin has wrought in this world. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But up to this crowd comes Jesus. And there by the pool, we find a man that's been lying for 38 years with his eyes fixed on water that he cannot reach. Now I would say that he was probably the worst case there. For 38 years, he's been inflicted with this infirmity. You know what that says to me? That says to me that Jesus is able to save the worst of the worst. That He is able to save the lowest of the low and the most helpless and the most hopeless of the helpless and hopeless. Jesus can save them.
That's right.
How many of us have lost loved ones or friends? And we're at the point that we're ready to give up on them. I want to encourage you not to give up on them. Don't stop praying. Don't stop witnessing. Jesus can save them. Jesus has the power to break the shackles of sin and set the prisoner free.
That's right.
Now I want you to imagine with me that moment when Jesus walks up to this crippled man. Now imagine when this man saw Jesus, he said, "There's somebody who loves me. There's somebody who cares about me. There's somebody who's interested in me." There's an old song that goes like this. When the world seems cold and your friends seem few, there is someone who cares for you. When you've tears in your eyes, your heart bleeds inside, there's someone who cares for you. Someone to care, someone to share all your troubles like no other can do. He'll come down from the skies and brush the tears from your eyes. You're His child, and He cares for you. I believe that when this man saw Jesus, he said, "There's a man that cares about me."
Amen.
Look with me in John chapter 5, verse 6. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Now that's a peculiar question to ask a sick man. It seems rather absurd, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Of course he wanted to be made whole. But the Lord asked him the question for two reasons. First, to give hope to this man. His case was hopeless. And I think the light of hope had pretty much gone out of his eyes and out of his life. And he was in despair. And second, and this is most important, Jesus wanted to get the man's eyes off the pool. Jesus wanted him to look to him. I wonder if we could have seen this man lying by the pool of Bethesda, if he ever noticed anybody else who came up there. He just kept his eyes on the pool. So our Lord startled him with the question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And I think the man would naturally look up. Who would ask a question like that? And his answer was, "Of course, I want to be made whole. But that's not my problem." He said, "I have no one to put me in the pool. The angel only comes down once a year and troubles the water, and the first that gets in is the one who's healed. There's no one to put me in the pool. So here I lie, helpless and hopeless." The condition of so many people in this world today is just like the man that's watching the pool. They're waiting for something to happen. That's the condition of many of us in these days. We're waiting. Just think of the people in our churches who are waiting for some great sweeping emotion to sweep over them. And then there are those who are postponing. They're putting off making the decision for Christ. They're not willing to turn to Him because they're looking for an emotion. They're looking for something to happen. There's another great group of people today that have their eyes on business. And they're waiting for something to happen to get rich quick. And then there are people who are looking to some individual today. They've heard about the experience of someone else. And they're waiting for something like that to happen in their lives. All of these people have their eyes fixed on something. But unfortunately, they have their eyes on the wrong thing, or the wrong individual, or the wrong happening. We need to get our eyes off of things and get our eyes on Jesus. We need to focus on Christ.
Amen.
Now, there are three things that this crippled man confessed that a lost person must confess in order to be saved. First, he confessed his desire to be helped. He said, "That's why I'm here. I came to be helped." Do you know the reason that people don't get any help when they come to church or Bible study? They didn't come with a purpose. The lame man said, "I came with a purpose. I came to be healed. And anytime we come together as God's people, we ought to come expecting Him to do great things in our midst. And if you come with a purpose, if you come expecting God to do great things, then He will come and He will do great things in our midst. The second thing that he confessed was that he had no way of saving himself. Look at John chapter 5, verse 7. The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." See, my friends, before a person can be saved, he has to come to the end of himself. The lost person must realize that there's no good in him. And he must throw up the white flag and surrender and ask God to forgive him. The lost man must become like the prodigal son and proclaim to God that I have sinned. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? The poor old prodigal son lost his fortune. He lost his friends. And he'd taken the lowest job that a young Jewish boy could take. He was feeding the swine. He had hit rock bottom. And he said, "I have sinned." But then he said, "But I have a father at home. And his hired servants are treated better than I am. I'm going to go home." Guys, will you put Luke chapter 15, verse 22 on the screen? The Bible says that the father was out there waiting. The father met him on the road. And the prodigal son says, "I have sinned. Make me as one of your hired servants." And in Luke chapter 15, verse 22, it says this: "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" There are those who would say, "I'd like to be saved, but I'm not good enough. Preacher, you don't know the things that I've done." But the only thing that God requires from us is to see our need and to come to Him.
Right. Amen.
The lame man confessed, "I cannot save myself. I can't get in the pool myself." The third thing that the lame man confessed was that he was looking to the wrong source for help. Again, notice what it says in verse 7. He says, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool." John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 says this: "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Salvation is not something that I do for God. It's something that God does for me. And it's the grace of God that saves us. Bethesda means house of grace. And that's what it became for this one man. Well, what does grace mean? It means God's unmerited favor toward those who are undeserving. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The lame man said, "I have no man to put me in the pool." But salvation is not a work of man, it's a work of God.
That's right.
We can't explain the grace of God, but if it were not for the grace of God, nobody would be saved. A couple of other things about this that I want you to notice. There were five porches. And five in the Bible is the number of grace. Also, I want you to notice that the pool was by the sheep gate, which speaks of the sacrifice. You see, the Lamb of God had to die before God's grace could be poured out to sinners. Another thing, Christ healed him on the Sabbath. This proves that the law had nothing to do with the cure. We're not saved by keeping the law. Another thing, he healed him by himself because salvation is of Christ alone. The man complained, "I have no man." But had there been dozens of men there to help him, they could not have done what Jesus did for this man.
Right.
Yeah.
The lost sinner doesn't need help. He needs healing.
Right.
John chapter 5, verse 8. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Jesus said, rise. Can you imagine? What is it that the lame man is thinking? He's thinking, how can I? I've been lying here for 38 years. How can I get up? This is the call of faith. It would have been easy for Jesus just to heal him and then tell him to get up. That wouldn't have required any faith. But Jesus said, you make the effort and I'll do the rest. If you're here and you're saved this morning, you accepted the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary by faith.
That's right.
You put your faith in Christ and you asked Him to save you. And God said, I'll take care of the rest of it. I'll forgive you. I'll cleanse you of your sins and all your unrighteousness. I'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'll prepare a place for you to live in heaven with me someday.
Amen. Amen.
Then look at verse 9. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now there were two parts of Jesus' instructions to this lame man who was healed. The first was rise. And he rose. And the Bible says immediately he was made whole. And the second part of the instructions are found in verse 8. Jesus said, take up thy bed. Why? Because Jesus wanted him to know that he was healed forever. That he was fixed up for keeps. He didn't want him to take a few feeble steps and then lay back down on his cot again. He wanted him to take up his cot, roll it up, and take it away, and never use it again. That's the problem with many Christians today. We leave our cot laying around. We leave our bed laying around. And we take a few feeble steps, and then we go back to it. We go back to living like we did before we were saved. Jesus said the cost of the cure is to take up your bed and walk. Exercise your limbs. Don't get paralysis and have to go back and lay down next to the pool again. God wants us to walk with Him and to witness for Him. And I believe that this lame man now healed. He got up and he picked up his bed and he walked away. Now there's just one thing I want you to notice, and I'll be finished. This man was made completely whole. He wasn't just on the road to recovery. He wasn't told, if you live a good life, then that'll be good enough. He wasn't given the Ten Commandments and said, you keep them and you do the best you can and that'll get you into heaven. But from the top of his head to the sole of his foot, he was made a new creature in Christ Jesus. He was made completely whole. The proof was in the cure. He immediately got up and walked. And the proof of our spiritual cure, if we're here and saved today, is our rising and walking. Christ has healed our spiritual diseases. So what we need to do is we need to go wherever He sends us. Take up whatever it is that He lays upon us and walk before Him and live in a way that's pleasing to Him. The question this morning is this. If you're here and you're lost, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, will you come and accept Him today? Have you found it this morning that you're in need of salvation and that you have no way of helping yourself? The Bible says, come to Jesus and He'll heal you and He'll clothe you in His righteousness.
Amen.
The question to the saved this morning is this. Are you walking closely with Him? Are you going out and witnessing for Him? Yes, we come and we're here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. But are we taking what we get here out into a lost and dying world and sharing the gospel with people? If not, you ought to come this morning and begin a closer walk of fellowship with Him. Do you have somebody in your life today? I'm sure in a crowd this size this morning that there is somebody here who knows somebody that's lost. And you've been praying for them and you've been witnessing for them, but you're at the point of giving up. Would you come today and renew that burden and pray for them that God will do a supernatural work in their lives? If the Lord has spoken to your heart, we want to invite you to come this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed. In just a minute, Brother Tim is going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. But before he does, I wonder how many people here this morning could say, John David, if I were to die today, I know that heaven would be my home. I'm saved. I'm sure of it. I'm on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand all over the house this morning? Praise the Lord for all those hands all over the house. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But maybe there's a person here this morning who would say that you're not sure. You couldn't raise your hand. You're not sure that if you were to die today, that heaven would be your home. Maybe you realize that today for the very first time, that you need to come to Jesus for salvation. If there's a person here that's lost this morning, we're not going to send anybody to talk to you. We're not going to embarrass you. We'd just like to pray for you this morning as a church. Is there any person who says, John David, I realize this morning that I'm lost. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and allow us to pray for you this morning? Anywhere, all over the house. Maybe there are those that are here this morning and you've got a burden on your heart. Maybe there's a lost loved one in your family. Maybe there's someone that doesn't know the Lord and you need to renew desire and your willingness to witness to them. Would you raise your hand this morning all over the house? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you for those hands. Maybe there's somebody you're not walking as closely to the Lord as you should be this morning. Maybe you need to get back in a close fellowship with Him. Would you raise your hand for prayer this morning? Amen. We're going to have a word of prayer. Brother Tim's going to sing. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, we want to invite you to come this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be in your house this morning, Lord. We just thank you for Brother Kenneth. Thank you for the fellowship that we had together yesterday. We thank you for this service. Thank you for how you've blessed our hearts with the music this morning, Lord. We just ask that you would just now take this invitation, that you'd use it for your honor and your glory. Lord, there were many here this morning who raised their hand, who said that they had family members and friends that didn't know the Lord. Lord, we just ask that you would just help them to be a witness to them, Lord. We pray that you'd give them a burden to see lost people saved, to see those lost family members and friends brought in to the house of God. Lord, if there's a person here that's not walking as closely to you as they should be today, we pray that you'd help them to see their need and they'd come and begin a closer walk with you today. Lord, we ask you to, if there was a person here that was lost, nobody raised their hand, but maybe there's a person who's never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we pray that you'd help them to see their need this morning. And we'll give you all the honor and glory and praise for everything that's done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we stand at our feet, Brother Kenneth, will you come and be up front? If the Lord has spoken to your heart, we want to invite you to come this morning.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's just simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. C, confess Him as your Savior. And you can pray a prayer like this: Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart, forgive my sins, save my soul, so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on the website, WindsCreekBaptist.org. And don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.